Robbins, you had a request.
I do, Mr. Chairman. Looking ahead at the next two agenda items, I note that the problem with the horseshoe crab quota was caused by non-reporting, and the following item is about mandatory reporting, and I thought it might be helpful if we heard from staff. Go ahead and take item 16 then before 15 to hear what ideas they have about how we might address mandatory reporting issues before we take up the horseshoe crab question.
Any objections, members of the commission? Mr. Travis, is that the only problem? Okay, what's wrong? Bye, Carl.
I get for putting everything in order.
Threw a wrench right in it, didn't we?
That's all right. We can handle
those
it.
I tell you, just drives us crazy.
Okay, well, as the commission will remember, we brought up an issue in front of you back in September having to do with our mandatory reporting program. And at that time, we had learned that Business Key Punch of Virginia, a company that was doing our actual data entry for mandatory reporting, had gone out of business. And they're very key to everything we do, because 20 to 30,000 harvest records a month must be processed. So our staff checks them from errors, gets everything straight on them, contacts harvesters if they need to make sure what's written down is what they think is written down. And then we send it off to a company that does professional key punch, double key entry. And as we told you, we lost that contract, because the company went out of business due to the current economic times. And we are currently in the process of trying to develop the new proposals to have a new contract to hire on through a bid process, another company to do this. But that takes a lot of time. But as we're doing this, we were going to deal with this next year. This gives us the opportunity to make some improvements to the mandatory reporting program at the same time, because it's all linked to our databases and our data entry. So what we've gone ahead and done, and we've put together a couple items that we feel that will help improve the entire mandatory harvest reporting program. The first one we listed in your evaluation has to do actually with recreational reporting. Regulation 670 provides requirements for annual reporting from certain gears, and those are the recreational gill net, the recreational crab pot, that's the five pot license, and the recreational trot line. Now, back in for this year, up until about a week ago, we had already had 902 recreational gillnet licenses sold, 248 recreational crab pot licenses, that allows them to go up to five pots, and 157 recreational trot line licenses. But one thing we've found over the last few years, especially with this system, which was separate, was compliance has been very low, if any, and it's extremely difficult for staff to monitor separate from our current system of the commercial fishery. So what staff's recommending on this particular item is requiring recreational gillnet, recreational crab pot, and recreational trot line licenses to be basically under the same mandatory reporting program as our commercial fisheries, meaning the same daily, monthly reports. We've incorporated other industries already into the system very successfully, including the aquaculture industry. We give them guidelines of how to report specifically on the form, what they do and do not have to fill out. We'd like to include these three licensees into the whole system, too. It would allow us to improve reporting in that system, monitor it much better, because right now it's all but non-existent. And it'll also simplify some things with staff when there is a lot of tasks to be done and not as many bodies. Another item we pointed out was commercial use of agents. An item that keeps coming up at many of the meetings. Now, currently, the way agenting works is, let's say, with a gillnet is, I can go out and I could agent for Mr. Bowden. It goes on his report. But unless he happens to list me down as a helper, another issue, you may not have known that he actually used an agent. He's supposed to put it on, but it doesn't really happen. He's the primary, goes on his report. So what we'd like to do, because this is an issue that comes up a lot, about how much agenting is really going on out here. And we never can answer that information for you, the CMAQ or FMAQ is basically add an item in reporting that says you have to tell us if you used an agent and who that agent was. That way now we can start tracking it and start getting information back to the commission and the advisory committees that they're always asking for that we never can give them. So we'd like to add that in the mandatory reporting. Helpers, another issue, which will come up also later today. A licensed helper is basically an individual who currently holds a commercial fisherman's registration license and is listed on another harvester's report as having helped them out. And at this point, it's been unlimited. But over time, we've seen no more than five helpers listed. Very few instances since 1993 have we seen more than five. I think the highest we've seen is eight. The helper data is also one of the biggest headaches for staff to deal with. The way it's held right now is not in a very useful field, that we're making that a little better. And the way it's wanting to be used in various situations also makes it difficult. So what we'd like to do there is put a requirement to list your helpers, but list no more than five, and we'd add that to the reporting forms to be very specific, very clear that who's actually being helped, who is the helper. Because right now, the way it's actually filled out, it's not very clear, and we sometimes miss them, or they get left off. So we want to add that specifically into it. The last thing is non-compliance, which is, of course, a very big issue for staff to deal with. Our ability to bring timely cases to the commission for non-compliance violations has basically been hampered by staff responsibilities. Not as many staff have been able to do it. We've also, over time, had the workings within staff to try and go as far as we can with an individual before actually bringing a hearing. But what we've ended up with is a system where we don't have strong deterrence for not reporting. So you don't see many cases before you because we're basically doing this ad hoc behind the scenes. What we want to do is recommend adding a non-compliance section to Regulation 610 and 670. These sections would provide a matrix of penalty options for the commission to use as a guide for rulings depending on the severity of the compliance issue. We'll be implementing a brand new notification system next year for everybody that will basically give three notices. If you've missed a report, let's say for January, at the end of February, you're going to get a notice from us saying, hey, we don't have your report for January. We're going to go one more month and you're going to get a second notice. After the second notice, there won't be any more notices. It's going to be an invitation to come before us. Those with the Potomac River Fisheries Commissions are familiar with these type of notices on a weekly basis. We would like to implement this in a monthly standard here with the commission. It's an automated system, which helps not burden staff resources as much. It allows it to be more timely so we don't have instances where we come before you with cases that may be a year or two old. We actually will be only a few months at the most when you start getting those cases. And it provides a strong deterrence measure, which is something that we absolutely need in this. Those are the recommendations of staff we'd like to advertise for a December public hearing to amend mandatory reporting in addition of defined non-compliance actions for both Regulation 670 and Regulation 610.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe, thanks for that presentation. Can you comment a little bit more on the non-compliance matrix and what might be included as a possible range of consequences?
What we're working out right now, we're getting it developed, and of course we're developing pretty quickly with the December meeting coming so soon, is basically guidelines. Let's say you have, and this, if you go, think back, we actually put a penalty matrix in for Regulation 252 pertaining to striped bass that Mike actually referred to earlier. It was percentage, and now we're going to a poundage. Now we're talking about reporting. So what we'd like to do is put in a measure. It's basically, for example, say it's your initial violation, first time ever you've had a violation. You've missed 1 month of reporting and we bring you before the commission. Maybe the minimum recommendation from staff would be a year's probation. Go a little further, you've missed 6 months of reporting and we get you before the commission. Maybe the recommendation there will be 2 years probation or suspension. We're still working these matrices out. There'd be a second section for repeat violations. So that after you've had your initial, there's your warning, most likely, hopefully, if this new compliance system works, it'll be within a few months and not 6 months or a year. if you have a repeat, now we'll step it up a little bit more. Maybe 1 year's probation becomes two. Maybe 2 years probation becomes 6 months suspension, and so forth. The commission is allowed up to a 2 year revocation of any license by code. So we basically build a matrix to allow you some guidelines on how to act. And if the new notification system works by next April, hopefully not, but most likely, we'll start bringing some cases in and we can look at compliance history or if it's an initial violation and provide you more guidelines on it and start rolling through this. If this provides a strong deterrence, it should, after first initial cases, it should hopefully decline in the number of cases that you actually have to see overall.
Question. Joe, when we're looking at this initial violation, if somebody doesn't do their January and they get a notice and they respond quickly and straighten it out, that's not going to be an initial violation.
No.
It's got to be someone who does not correct the problem in a timely manner.
The violation will have to be, we've gone through a first notice, a second notice, and we've issued the invitation for a hearing. At that point, it's the violation. If they can solve it before we get to that third letter, before that is issued, it's taken care of. But we also, and this has been a concern, we don't want to open up a thing where, well, I can always be 2 months late or 3 months late because I've never hit that. We're going to watch for that issue and bring it back to you if we start seeing that.
And there is, you know, legitimate reason somebody might be 1 month off.
It could come absolutely
off in the mail. It could be just a simple clerical error on your side.
That's exactly it. So we want to give them enough time so we can resolve it with them through the notice process. And hopefully it will resolve most cases.
Mr. Roberts,
it's a public hearing. Well, we haven't had a public hearing yet. If you're ready for a motion for a public hearing, collecting accurate catch data is really critical for a multitude of reasons. It's in the interest of our fishermen. It's in the interest of this fishery. And obviously, we have an example coming up next of how essential it is for management control.
We're prepared to discuss those.
Yes. And so, I think staff's heading in the right direction on this. This will give us a really much more, I think, robust approach to it and more uniform approach. So I would offer a motion that we, per staff recommendation, advertise a public hearing at the December meeting for mandatory reporting.
Second motion, Maddie. You heard the motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye.
Excuse me, who's second?
Thank you.